good to be here once again. It's nice to see a few new faces. We welcome you. Thank you for coming. Because there are a few new, I'll give you a brief overview of what transpired so far. Our services have been themed, "It's All About Jesus," and our recurring anthem each night has been, "There is no other name," and we will be singing it at some point as the Lord leads me. It's been beautiful, even as the Lord promised. He cannot lie. It's gotten more beautiful each night, each service, and I'm counting a week ago because the Lord started it early, Homecoming Sunday. And it has indeed been beautiful, even as he promised. Our God is so good. It began with the homecoming service and then went to Revival Sunday morning with the message entitled "A Beautiful Journey." That, simply to bring you all up to date, was simply an introduction of the series of messages that the Lord gave to me to bring to you. And "A Beautiful Journey," that message entailed simply the journey of my life in Christ that brought me to this place and time, this moment in time, Fall Revival at St. Thomas Church, and expressed how that our spiritual lives, because to everything physical there is a spiritual parallel, it expressed how our spiritual lives, just like our physical lives, develop in stages of growth. And each of you, having seen most of my life in Christ, at least most of you, have been able to see those stages of growth, both physically and spiritually in me, that brought me to this moment in time where I stand before you doing my best imitation of a preacher for the Fall Revival services at St. Thomas Church. And that message was really meant to cause each of us to reflect on the stages in our own lives physically, and even more importantly, spiritually, that brought us to this point in time. And the theme each night, as I expressed profoundly and will continue to do so, is that everything in our lives in Christ and everything in our lives as the church, and in fact everything in the world, is indeed all about Jesus. It's not about us. It's never been about us. It's always been about him. Even the world itself is all about Jesus, because he was before the world even was. And the second message that I shared yesterday was entitled, "Just as the Lord promised." It got more beautiful each night, and each message is titled "A Beautiful One Thing or Another." Last night's message was "A Beautiful Sight," and it simply expressed how God wants us to live in this world as his own. He wants us to live with a beautiful sight. He wants us to see the world and humanity around us through the eyes of Jesus, his only begotten Son. And I expressed profoundly in both services how if each of us would simply make this a true desire of our hearts and a true passion in our hearts, and make it our frequent prayer that God would bless us with an answer to this beautiful prayer, "Lord, help me to see the world and humanity through Christ's eyes," you can't even believe what will happen next while it's happening. You won't even be able to believe how wrongly you've seen all of your lifetime, how arrogantly and how wrongly you've seen everything in the world around you through the eyes of man. And I used the example of Saul of Tarsus, how he was such a godly man and thought that he was doing what was good and what was right in God's eyes, until God got a hold on him and he was stricken blind. And when Ananias opened his eyes, never again would the Apostle Paul see the world and humanity around him through the eyes of man. He would live the rest of his life with his eyes wide open, seeing the world and humanity around him through the eyes of Christ. And he provided for us nearly two-thirds of our New Testament writing in the Bible. And I could go on and on and on and on comparing, which I did not last night and I won't tonight either, because I have another message to share with you tonight. But I could go on and on and on, and you all know well yourself, as you know the scriptures, the difference between the man Saul of Tarsus and the man we know as the Apostle Paul, the difference between the man that saw the world and humanity around him through the eyes of man compared to the man we know as the Apostle Paul, who saw the world and humanity ever after that blessed moment in time when Christ restored his sight to see the world and humanity as he sees it. I could go on and on telling you of the wonderful and the beautiful things that the Apostle Paul accomplished for Christ Jesus our Lord when he received a beautiful sight that enabled him only ever thereafter to see the world and humanity through Christ's eyes. And I said a whole bunch more stuff in both of those services and was way longer than I should have been. I will try to be more obedient to the clock tonight, and I apologize for that. But I am certain, not because of me, because my Lord is good, you enjoyed every moment and didn't mind getting home late. But I will try to be more obedient to the clock tonight. I wasn't at all last night, but it was beautiful. It was just so beautiful. And tonight will be as well. I'll just try and make it a shorter beauty. Tonight's message is entitled Beautiful Worship. And I'm going to be reading from the book of Nehemiah. And it's, if you want to find it in the Pew Bible, I'll give you the page number 558, because I myself, as often as I've read it, struggle to find it in my Bible. Page 558 in the Pew Bible, if you'll turn to Nehemiah chapter 8, and if you'll stand in honor of God's word as I ask a blessing on the bringing forth of it and on our service here tonight. And then I'll let you be seated as I read, because as I read, I'm going to be doing some commentation and I won't make you stand that long. So if you'll find Nehemiah chapter 8 or turn to the Pew Bible 558 page number and bow your hearts, and I'll ask the Lord's blessing on our time together tonight. Kind and gracious and loving Heavenly Father, I thank you for another wonderful day that you've made and given me to enjoy, Lord. I logged like a maniac all day long, and I hurried home, and I pedaled my bicycle like a wild man, and I swallowed my supper whole like a wolf, and it was all good. I'm not complaining. I'm thanking you, and I'm praising you for it, and I hurried, and I made it here, and here we are, and I know, as good as the day was, and as wonderful a blessing as it was to me, as they all are, because they're days that you make and give to me to enjoy, I know that no matter how special this day was to me, because you made it and gave it to me, there is no place that I would rather be at this moment than in the presence of your people, dear Lord, with you in our midst, even as you promised. when we're gathered in your name. And I thank you for this time, dear Lord. And I need to ask your blessing upon the time that we enjoy together tonight, Lord. And I thank you for the wonderful blessing that the service was so far and the beautiful music and how it touched my heart, dear Lord. And just reminded me so much that it is indeed all about you. Everything in our lives, dear Lord, it's all about you. It's not about us. And if we are just willing to step outside of ourselves and let you take us beyond ourselves, it just gets more beautiful and more precious as we grow and live in you. And I just thank you tonight, Lord, for this time that we're going to enjoy together. And I thank you again tonight for your word, dear Lord. It's powerful and it's precious and it's true and it's everlasting and it's more meaningful and useful even today than it was long ago when it was recorded. I just thank you for it, dear Lord. And I ask for your anointing tonight, Heavenly Father, because this broken vessel can accomplish nothing without you, Lord. I need you to make me not broken. I need you to make me worthy. I need you to cloak me in your righteousness, Lord. I can accomplish nothing without you, and I'll never profess that I can. It's all about you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that you have given me the privilege to stand before your people and present to them your word. Dear Lord, just anoint me. I need your help. I can accomplish nothing with everlasting meaning, Lord, without you. And I ask that you'll just bless each one that you have given me to share this with, Lord, the message that you laid on my heart. I pray that you will bless them with your revelating spirit so that your word might lodge deep in their hearts, Heavenly Father, so that they can go forth from this place and demonstrate it in their lives to the lost and dying souls in the world around us. Thank you again for this time, dear Lord, and add your blessing to every moment of it. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, beginning with first verse 1, reads, and I'll remind you again, the title of tonight's message is Beautiful Worship, and I can tell you, and I'm certain no one will argue, we have experienced that the last two services and last Sunday in our homecoming service. And I'm going to talk tonight a little bit about beautiful worship and what beautiful worship is. And for those of you who are new, I usually like to have my messages completely scripted so that I can just read them. And this has been a beautiful experience for me, as the Lord did not enable me to prepare 5 consecutive messages in writing. And it's been a beautiful experience for me, as the Lord reminded me of the theme of our services, that it's all about Jesus. It's not all about me. I had little confidence that I could accomplish this, but I should have to say that I at least got the job done. Because it's not about me, and he enabled me. And in fact, again tonight, I just have a couple pages and a few shopping notes of pages of scribbled notes. And if it goes anything like last night, I won't be paying any attention to that little bit I have, because God has been good and he has enabled me to do what I thought I was unable to do. And I thank him and praise him for that tonight. But the message is entitled Beautiful Worship, and I do have an outline of sorts, and somehow I feel that I won't be following it very much, but I know it will come out well, because it's not about me, it's all about him. I would like to read to you tonight from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe, telling him to bring the book, the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the 7th month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until the midday. That was quite a service. We have a bit of a problem if the preacher speaks a little too long. Homer made a point to Remind me I was long-winded Sunday, Pastor. That don't surprise you at all, does it? But Ezra read, from morning until midday, they had church. They had worship from morning to midday. And he read before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, similar, I suspect, to this one, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood others with very difficult names to pronounce. I'll let you read them, then I don't have to pronounce them, and we'll move on to verse 5. And Ezra opened the book. In the sight of all of the people in that congregation, Ezra simply did what I just spoke. He opened the book. In the sight of all the people, in the sight of that congregation, and he was above those people on a platform, much like I am, I suspect. And when he opened it, when he opened the book, all of the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and this is what's so fascinating. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. I have been trying to express that's putting it mildly. And I want to bring to your attention here the magnitude of what happened in this event. As it's recorded for us, all the man did, Ezra, who was the preacher or the pastor that day, was open the word. And understand that he didn't even have the completed version as we have. He was simply opening the laws of Moses, because at that point in time, that was the word, that was what they had. And I want to draw to your attention the reaction that it brought to those people just to have the privilege to stand before a man of God and have him present the word to them. That's just so fascinating to me. It's just extremely fascinating to me. This was a message that the Lord gave to me long ago, long before he said, Pete Carnahan, speak. Pete Carnahan, the theme. Pete Carnahan, the recurring anthem is this. And Pete Carnahan, and here I am. Long before that, the Lord gave me this message. I had it tucked in my Bible for I don't know how long. And when the Lord spoke to me that day in the woods and gave me all this information of all that I was going to do, and I began fighting him from the first moment, I already had this message because I was so fascinated by this portion of Scripture that a congregation of people would respond simply to the opening of the book of God's Word. How'd you like to preach to that congregation, Pastor? They were ready to go. And that's how we're supposed to all be. And I have done my most masterful imitation of a preacher up here for two consecutive services, and I'm going to do that again today and until these services are complete. And I can tell you, not that it's about me at all, because it's not about me. If I accomplish anything, it is indeed the Lord through me, because it's all about Jesus. But that being said, I can say that I have, for the last two services, did my most masterful impression of a preacher. I have poured my heart out to this, to God's people, expressing to them the importance, or trying to express to you the importance of our expression in worship, our expression to God as we worship. And I express to you profoundly how I by no means believe that our reservation in worship, because I have always been, you know me, you've seen my journey that I spoke of the first Sunday, you've seen my journey, my life in Christ, and you all know well, those of you that have seen it, I don't need to tell you, I don't need to remind you that I have always been quite reserved in my worship. And I still defend that. I still defend it. And I do again tonight, and I will not stop defending the reality that reserved worship is not broken worship. Because I mean to tell you, as I told you before, my reservation as I worshiped was meaningful to me and powerful to me and useful to me throughout my Christian life. And I'll never call reserved worship broken. But what I have been trying to express so hard, I have poured my heart out doing my best imitation of a preacher to express to you, to try and get you to believe, try and get you to understand that the more we express ourselves to God, the more He will express Himself to you. And it's just positively, it's just fascinating and amazing to me that I lived this much of my life in Christ and failed to understand this truth, this reality about our worship. I've begged and pleaded, and I'm not going to stop. But what you need to understand is this, and it'll happen because my God promised and He cannot lie, is you shall not and must not express yourself to God as you see me doing so differently than I did before as we worship. You must not do it because I or any other man begged and pleaded. It will accomplish nothing. However, I know when you worship, because I did it for so many years in a reserved fashion, I know when you worship, the same God that saved your wretched soul, or my wretched soul, saved your wretched soul. And I know that you love Him as powerfully as I love Him, and you know Him as profoundly as I know Him. And I know that in many worship services throughout the years, that every part of you wanted to express yourself to God more than you would allow yourself to express yourself to God. Because His Spirit when it's in a place, it's really in a place, isn't it, Scotty? And when we're gathered in His name, His Spirit's in this place. And it's always been that way. And I know that His Spirit has always touched you in the very same fashion that it's touched me throughout your lifetime of church. But yet, as I expressed last night, because we are also human, we build a framework around ourselves that we're not willing to step out of. We build a framework around ourselves that inside that framework is what worship is to us and what Christianity is to us and what church is to us. And we're just not willing and not very inclined to step outside of that framework, to the point where we do something as simple, and it's simple. I have a premature granddaughter at home. Not at home. She's at my daughter's home. I say home because she's no longer in the hospital, and praise the Lord for that, and we're thankful. I have a premature granddaughter that's not supposed to be in this world yet until sometime in December. And she's capable of performing this simple task. I can do it over and over and over again. It seems simple. It seems meaningless. It seems powerless. But yet we're so restrained from doing it when the Lord speaks to our heart through message and song. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching at me. You've watched my journey to this point in time. There really isn't anybody here that doesn't know me, even those who are new to this night. And I never really understood until the Lord answered that prayer for me that I expressed is so important for you to make your frequent prayer and desire of your heart, that you would see the world and humanity around you through Christ's eyes. I could stand up here if I'd live another 1,000 years and could not express to you how differently everything in the world around you will be if the Lord answers that prayer for you, or if perhaps he would strike you blind as he did the Saul of Tarsus. I didn't realize until the Lord began to answer this prayer for me so profoundly and more and more so as it went along, and as I enjoyed and relished this beautiful vision, this beautiful sight that I spoke of last night. How wonderful the world and humanity around me is, and how differently God sees it than we see it through the eyes of man. And one of the things that came along with that is simply my worship. I didn't understand. All of my years sitting in church, all of my years of coming through those doors and getting what I needed and I wanted and what was good and not broken, and going back out those doors the same way I came in to return the next week and get the same thing I came for the week before, and it was always good again. But I just didn't understand. I failed to understand, and that's what I'm trying to impress to you tonight. Not that my worship all them years was broken, and neither do I believe that yours or anyone else's was. What I'm trying to express to you tonight, what I really want you to grasp and understand, is I didn't know. I just didn't know how the more you express yourself to God, amen, the more he'll express himself to you. And I know you all want that. I know you want it. Maybe some of you are wondering why this Pete Carnahan, who never did these things all of his life in Christ, is trying to push these things on you so profoundly. It's because I discovered that the more we express ourselves to our loving God, the more he'll express himself to you, and there is nothing like it. If you don't believe anything else I ever told you, believe me this. It's a simple act. I got a premature baby at home that can do it. It's not complicated, and it might seem meaningless to you, but I'm telling you, it's not meaningless. It's powerful. I'm telling you, the more that you express yourself to God, the more that He'll express Himself to you. And I'm telling you, there is nothing this side of eternity that is more precious than the expression of God towards and upon you. And all you need to do is step outside of yourself and let Him take you beyond yourself to a salvation so great, a greater salvation, one that enables you freely to bear in mind that it's not about me, and it's not about you, and it's not about what people think. If I stand in a church service and raise my hands to the Lord, it's not about us. It's all about Him. And if I can just bring you so far as to express yourself freely to our almighty and loving God, you can't even believe how powerfully He will express Himself to you. I'm not asking anybody to join in a cult. I'm not asking anybody to practice satanic worship. I'm just asking you to do a simple task that my premature granddaughter's able to do already 2 months before she's supposed to be in this world, and do it with all of your heart, and do it not because Pete Carnahan imitated a preacher and begged and pleaded for you to do it, because that won't get it done. Do it because the Lord is stirring your heart, because I know that He is. You can't sit in His almighty presence and not be stirred in your heart by His almighty goodness. And I know that it's in you. I know that every ounce of you wants to express yourself to Him with every ounce of your being. But we build this framework around ourselves that we're not willing to step out of, and we rob ourselves of the beautiful expression of God towards us, because the more that we express ourselves towards Him, the more that He'll express Himself to you. And I'll say it again, because it's so true, and it's so powerful, and it's so meaningful. There is nothing better on this side of eternity than God expressing Himself to you. And all you got to do is express yourself to Him. It's not complicated when He tugs on your heart and you recognize His goodness and His greatness and the beauty of what He's done for you through the salvation of your wretched soul. You were never worthy. He gave His only begotten Son. I can't tramp on the following two messages. Tomorrow night's message is a beautiful heart. And the final message that I just can't wait to share. I'd like to stay here and do them all. We'd be here till morning. The final one, a beautiful exchange. I have to be careful not to tramp on those messages, especially tomorrow night's message, because tonight's message, beautiful worship, leads us right into tomorrow night's message, a beautiful heart. And that leads us right into the final message, a beautiful exchange. I didn't follow a bit of my notes, and I'm not going to, because like last night, I'm going to stop imitating a preacher and just talk to you. That's what I've been doing since I read the scriptures. What is beautiful worship? We all have an opinion, and they vary. I'll tell you this story, because I deceived myself into thinking I'm going to be quick tonight. Deb and I went to visit my friend in Missouri who's been battling cancer for very many years. We thought perhaps it might be the last opportunity we got to see him. So even though it didn't suit us real well, we took the time to go and visit my friend Lee in Missouri. And the Lord's been doing wonders in his life and his wife's life. after many, 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 many years of, I shared this in a message, after many, many years of trying so hard to make God real to my friend, I finally did what I'm discovering and what's so beautiful, realized it's not about me, it's all about him, and he can do what we cannot. And I began to make it my constant prayer that God would reveal himself to my friend, because all of my efforts from all of my years of experience with Christ were unable to do it. And it was so beautiful. I told you about the vision he had as he nearly died in the hospital, and how God revealed himself to my friend far better than I was ever able. I was never even successful at it, no matter how hard I tried. But anyhow, this has nothing to do with the story I'm going to tell, so I'll quit telling it. While we were out visiting my friend, Deb and I had the run down to Branson, because I have an aunt and uncle that moved to Branson, and they had been requesting that we come and visit, and that didn't really fit in with my plans either, because we were only spending 4 days in Missouri, and I hated to take any time away from my friend who's battling cancer, even to go visit my aunt and uncle, but they're precious to me also. So Deb and I decided that we would drive to Branson, which is 150 miles or so below where my friend lives in Missouri. And we spent the evening with my aunt and uncle. And to just give you a brief and quick overview of the man that my uncle is, he's a Church of Christ believer. I don't know what y'all know about the Church of Christ, but my uncle makes it quite a habit to tell people that they don't believe in having music in their worship. They sing all of their hymns a cappella. And he also makes it a point to tell people that they believe the women should be silent in church. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because we are talking about beautiful worship tonight, and I'm trying to express to you what beautiful worship is, and that there are many variations of worship, and many variations in the way that we ourselves worship in our own church. But as we spent the evening with my aunt and uncle, we didn't go see any shows. It was just one evening. We went to the lake, we went to the fish hatchery, and we went out for supper, and we finished the evening down at the pier on the lake where they had a light and fire show, and it was just a beautiful evening. It was quite romantic, and I was my romantic self. I'm very good at it. Whether you believe it or not, ask my wife, she'll tell you. And it was just a beautiful and a wonderful evening. And but I just really enjoyed the time with my aunt and my uncle, and they are for sure and certain, they are beautiful persons of God. Christ lives for sure and for real in their hearts, and they're just precious people. But my uncle, you know, it's kind of comical to me, but he's so expressive with his Church of Christ beliefs that he doesn't even know how expressive he is. And he's such a I don't know how to say it. He's like Mike. He talks to everybody like he knew him all his life. You know, I just love the way Mike and Melba react to humanity and the world around them. They, my newfound friends, live with their eyes wide open all about Jesus. And my uncle's a lot like that, and he's a Church of Christ believer. He believes no music in church and the women be silent in church. But other than that, you know, he's pretty much all about Jesus. I mean, the man, he's out there expressing Jesus to everybody he encounters in life. It's just beautiful. And I just am trying to be more and more like that myself. But what I'm trying to express to you here is there's so many variations of worship, and I'm not going to call any of them broken. I'm just not. You can if you want to, but I'm just not. I'm not going to call any denomination of worship broken. I'm not going to call our worship in a reserved fashion broken. I'm not going to do it. In doing that, in condemning that, I condemn myself. And I can assure you that my worship, my reserved worship all of these years was not broken. However, there are many variations of worship, and worship's all beautiful. Godly worship is just simply beautiful. It can be nothing less than that. But my uncle, as we were down at the Fire and Light show, a complete strange older couple sat down beside us, and he completely, like always, he just automatically started talking to them like he knew them all his life. And his conversations, because he's a wonderful man of God, his conversations quickly went to God and the things of God. He immediately, soon after the couple sat down beside us, he started talking about God and the things of God. And my three cousins, two of them are Church of Christ ministers, one in Texas with a congregation of 300, and one in Arkansas or somewhere else with a congregation of 700. And my oldest of the three cousins of my uncle's sons is a part-time youth minister at his church in wherever he lives. I may have the states and such and all reversed back and forth, or kind of out of place where they belong, but what I told you about them's true. And my uncle quickly went to talking to this strange couple that sat down beside him about God and about his family and his sons that are ministers of the gospel in these churches in different places. And when he mentioned the church in, I believe, Arkansas or Oklahoma, whichever one it was, the couple immediately interrupted him and said, "Where in Arkansas?" "Because we're from Arkansas," they told my uncle. And my uncle said that the town that my cousin was a pastor in the church at, and how many were in the congregation. I'm not sure if it was the 301 or the 701 cousin, and it doesn't matter. And then my uncle asked them what church they go to. And they said to him, "Well, we go to such and such Baptist church in the same city where my cousin was a minister at the Church of Christ." And it was just so funny, because that's how we are. We kind of are all about Jesus for sure and certain, but we always insert that "my way." We're all about Jesus, our way, and we're supposed to be all about Jesus without the "my way." And that's what I am trying to express and accomplish through these services. Not for my sake, simply because the Lord asked me. But anyhow, when this old couple responded where they went to church and what for church it was, my uncle couldn't help himself. The beautiful man that he is, he couldn't help himself when they said, "We go to such and such a Baptist church." His knee-jerk reaction was, "Oh." And he's a beautiful man, and he immediately realized that he shouldn't have done it that way. But I'm just trying to point out how there's so many variations of worship, and to me, they're all beautiful so long as they're in line with God's word. And the one other verse of scripture that I had to share expresses that very profoundly and quite simply. The hour cometh, John 4, verse 23 and 24, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's not real complicated. As long as our worship is in spirit, it's provoked by his spirit within us, and it's in truth, it's in line with the truth principles in his word, that's beautiful worship. It doesn't matter what denomination it is. It doesn't matter how reserved you are in your worship. Your worship is beautiful. If you never jump up out of your seat and shout amen. Your worship is beautiful. If Scotty and my daughter and whoever else stands up here and sings their heart out for the Lord, and you refuse to raise your hands, your worship's beautiful because you're worshiping in spirit and in truth, and I know the same spirit that is prompting me to lift my hands with tears running down my face is the same spirit that's stirring your heart, and that is beautiful worship. I think I made that profoundly clear in three messages so far. What I want to express tonight is tear down that framework that you've built around yourself. And just do that simple thing, not because I said so, because the Lord spoke to your heart through spoken message or song. And just lift your hands up to him. Just let yourself go. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about what the person next to you might think. And it's not complicated. I have a premature grandbaby that can do it. Why am I pleading so hard to get you to express yourself to God in this fashion? I want you to discover what everyone will discover that is obedient to his spirit when he stirs your heart, and they do something as simple as raise their hands. Some jump up and down. I told you last night, you don't have to swing from the chandeliers. I won't ask anybody to do that. I'm just asking you to step outside of yourself and let the Lord take you beyond yourself. Because I promise you, my God cannot lie. And he revealed it to me, and it's true as I'm telling it to you. The more you allow yourself to express yourself to him, the more he'll express yourself to you. And that's beautiful worship. You've come a ways just in two services. I've seen you come a ways from where we started as I prompted and pleaded with you. I've seen it, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful, isn't it, Scotty? It's beautiful, isn't it, Pastor? It is the very act of removing ourselves out of God's way so that he can do in us what he so longs to do. I spoke with you so transparently in that first message that I shared about my beautiful journey. And you heard my repentant prayer, and it was real. There was nothing for show about it. All of these years that I've come into this church and watched my pastor pour his heart out for the Lord and watch Scotty sing his heart out for the Lord, I didn't give my pastor, and I didn't give Scotty, and I didn't give the Lord much to work with. so that he could take me outside of myself and beyond myself to a salvation so great that there's nothing like it on this side of eternity. So remember again, if you remain reserved, I understand. I've been there. And I understand it. And I'm not pointing fingers at you. And I'm not saying do what you just can't make yourself do. But I will remind you of this. And this thought just struck me after last night's service. If you can't learn in this life, everything in this life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, was designed for us to prepare us for life after this in eternity with our Lord. So this just came to me today. How about if you get used to worshiping our Lord and our God with every ounce and every expression of your being while you're here in this world? Because if not, you're going to be a little uncomfortable when you get to heaven, because you will do it there. You won't be able to stop yourself. You'll be uncomfortable about it, but you'll do it. So why don't we just get comfortable with it now? Because I promise you, there is nothing like it on this side of eternity. The more you will let yourself go and express yourself to our Lord, the more that he'll express himself to you. Now, once again, my daughter and Scotty are going to come, and I wasn't extremely long tonight compared to last night. And we are going to sing that beautiful song that is our anthem, our recurring anthem for these services. There is no other name. Indeed, it's all about Jesus, and there is no other name more worthy to be honored, more worthy to be glorified, more worthy to be magnified, more worthy to be lifted up than the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm not watching you. It's all about Jesus, and he is all I'm going to see. I don't know if you're expressing yourself to him in a reserved fashion or if you're expressing yourself to him with every ounce of your being. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus. And I'm just asking you to be obedient to his spirit, not obedient to me or anything that I said, because that'll accomplish nothing. And let's worship him, whether it's reserved in your heart as you're comfortable with, or if you can step outside of yourself and raise your hands to my Lord. I am going to ask you this. I'm not going to point fingers and name names and make you come up front like I did the last two times. But I'm asking you, all of those who are willing, get up here. And I'm going to ask the rest of you, in reverence of our Lord who's so kind and loving and gracious towards us, if you'll stand to your feet as Scotty and Jody come and sing. And we are going to sing our anthem for these revival services once again. And we're going to get to do it two more nights. And I'm excited about that. And I look forward to this moment of the service each night. Scotty and Jody, come. Come front anyone that will.